Board time, July 17th.
Why don't we go ahead and get started? We got about 10, 15 minutes for a legislative report. Our lobbyist, Mike Burgess, joined us.
Hey, Mike. Welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Good work in this legislative session. Why don't you go ahead and give us the update?
That sounds good, the way you did it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to spend a lot of time because we talked periodically through the session. But what I was thinking is four areas: operating budget, transportation budget, capital budget, and just policy bills. Touch on the history of all, kind of what happened with those during the session, and then looking forward to next session. Start with the policy bills. We talked about stormwater issues last session. We had the three bills, none of which passed. However, there was the one issue on the pilot project that we ended up working with Ecology and got some sort of a letter, and we got direction there to do some sort of a program with them. And I know I talked with Senator Benton yesterday and Ron about that. Also talked about prospectively about stormwater. The reality is that we asked for the other two bills were a delay and a reprioritization of the dollars and where they go. How great those sound to us, those are pretty difficult asks in the legislative arena. They've got pretty strong opposition from the environmental community, which frankly just make it difficult to do along with the Department of Ecology. So we were strategizing yesterday about once you're operating under your new permit, which you are, correct? Or you will be soon, or you are.
About a month.
To have a couple, 3 months history of that, and then maybe figure out a way to work with the department in a proactive manner if there's something that they're, that we can come to an agreement on to come back to the legislature and talk about how to most effectively implement the new stormwater permit. And thinking being that doing something with them proactively, get them on the same page with you, you're going to be a lot more successful just with the political reality of that issue in Olympia.
Yep.
So that will probably be, we compared notes, and we'll, I would assume, probably bring something back up here in a couple of months about that, just working closer with the department. We also had the industrial land bank bill. That bill did not pass. And I believe the date in that bill was 2014. So we could push to try to get it passed again next session.
It looks like we'll be able to have the application in before the deadline.
So we won't need the bill.
We will double check with you on that, but they have been working on the applications, plural, mm-hmm. two applications, because we get two.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been working on applications for the two and should have them in before the 2014 deadline, according to the representatives from the landowners.
Okay. And then,
but we'll double check.
And the bill's still alive, so it's there for us.
And what was that bill?
The one that extended the date for the application for the industrial land bank.
Specifically looking at, for us, it's the area around the railroad, just north of the urban growth boundary by Lagler Dairy.
And it extends it from what to what?
The date currently in current statute is...
We're asking to go from 14 to 16 to sync it up with our comp plan amendment. It basically allows you to have two sites outside the urban growth boundary that you can designate for industrial lands. We have one in the hopper, but it would be nice to get the extension.
We have two.
Oh, we have two now. Okay.
I mean, did state law change to want to do
because
that?
Because the application in state law said you had them in, had to have the applications in by 2014. The bill would have extended to 16. One of the first bills I worked on for the county was we went from, didn't we go from like 2010 to 2014?
Right.
And so... anyway, but it sounds like if they're getting processed, then we won't need to do it. But the, like I said, the bill's still sitting there, so if we need to ask for that next session, we can do that.
We'll double check.
Okay. So those are the policy pieces we asked for last session. I don't know if there's new ones now. I mean, I guess, Bill, in the past, you've kind of done a mid to late summer. In the fall, you've asked your department heads what's wrong with the RCW that we want fixed, and I would assume that's a similar exercise we could go through again.
Axel does that now, yeah.
Okay.
We'll do it.
All right.
The other one was the economic development bill, the point on
right,
the money.
Right, right. The tax credit bill.
We'll run that again. And then medical cannabis is one that, you know, we don't have to talk about it today, but Senator Rivers' bill from last session that died, but there's just so much uncertainty about the medical side of marijuana right now. It sure would be nice if the legislature would clean that up and just say, this is how it is.
And there's going to, you know, they're still going through the implementation of the initiative right now. They're doing all their public, the liquor board's overseeing it, so they're doing all their outreach. So there will probably be a I would imagine the legislature will have to look at some sort of a cleanup of the initiative next year, just because they're going through so much rulemaking right now. That I've got to imagine some of the stuff is going to run afoul of the initiative. So there might just be an opportunity to piggyback off of that. I'm just thinking out loud right now. So from a policy standpoint, so I'll just wait to hear back on other policy measures that we'd like to do.
Right. And we're getting them from the department heads and other electeds. Other electeds have NACO, but we have synced up our work so that if the assessor, treasurer, auditor, if they have policy bills, they do talk with us about having our lobbyists mm-hmm. help work those as well. Mm-hmm. But we should also feel free in whatever policy bills that we as a board want to see, be thinking about those so that by late summer we can be getting language together so that we can start getting sponsors well ahead of the session.
Mm-hmm.
And then do you want to talk on the capital side, kind of on the money side of the house too?
Oh my.
Well, let me just
gardens.
I've been kind of holding
the gardens is big. We're nimble on that, as well as the medical marijuana,
right?
Gardens and recreational. I mean, it's so much up in the air on the campus.
Right.
So we've been delaying this and delaying this, and then we actually took action here a week ago.
Mm-hmm. But actually, do you know, is some of the cleanup that the rules the liquor board's doing now, does that touch?
Not medicinal.
That's a problem. So Senator Rivers' bill was Senate Bill 587.
Right. I remember
that's the
bill.
One that, basically what it did is it resurrected the bill that the governor vetoed in 2011, or at least big portions of it. So personally, I haven't had enough of a chance to talk with the board on how they feel about it, but I would advocate that we help support that bill, because right now you've got cities and counties all doing different things on the medical side.
Well, we do need to have a longer conversation, because if we synced it up and they synced it up with the recreational side, that would be the zoning for dispensaries piece, and so we would be transferring our authority to ban dispensaries to the state, and the state would be forcing us to do it. And so there is a problem with syncing it up and syncing it to the wrong side of it. So.
Yeah, and her bill did put it in the hands of the liquor control board.
Exactly. As much as I just don't think we need to go there. Go ahead.
Yeah, the earlier thing you were talking about, the industrial land bank
mm-hmm.
along the railroad corridor. Jeff Swanson, he's already developing a stellar little record. Talk about getting things done. I mm-hmm. expect that if he's going to be participating in getting that process going, we won't need to extend our mm-hmm. time. He'll get her done. He's a get her done guy. I'm already picking up on that.
Well, just so you know, it's not up to us. We've been waiting for the application from the applicant for over a year. Mr. Hornstein is making out the application, so hopefully
we'll get Jeff
Swanson
connected
help
with
him, help him get that done.
We'll get him connected with Hornstein, those guys, to make sure that they can get this done.
Hornstein representing Legler?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So those would be policy bills. You mentioned capital, so we can just jump into the capital budget. We had a request to support the Children's Center. It got funding, not its full funding. I believe it got $1.2 million. I think the request was more like $1.8. I believe it was a little higher.
We got $1.7.
It was $1.7?
Yeah.
Okay. Which was good. I don't know that they'll be back to ask for more. I don't know if you've heard
that
or not.
That completes their request.
Okay. Good.
For us, anyway.
And that was more of a support a community project. We didn't have a specific county capital budget request last session, and I don't know if we do looking forward or not.
Out of the capital, the only thing that we had as far as requests were public work assistance.
Right.
Public works assistance account.
Mm-hmm. And we can... I'm glad Commissioner Stewart brought that up, because one of the components... and this kind of can shift into the operating budget, is one of the ways that the operating budget was funded was with a sweep of the Public Works Trust Fund, which is something the legislature has historically done, especially in the last 4 or 5 years, and then also took a portion of the funding mechanism for it as well. And I know that's, Commissioner Stewart in particular has voiced a frustration on that to me. I haven't talked to the two of you directly about it.
In other words, they pulled money out of the counties for infrastructure, right?
It is locally they are locally generated funds that were started in the 80s with the Public Works Assistance Account, with the local government saying, we will go ahead and we will support you raising these taxes locally, taking them to the state level, so long as they go for local infrastructure needs. Now that the money gets pooled at the state level, it's $270 to $300 million that when you got a budget hole on the operating side, they saw that and pulled that one-time capital dollars and pulled it into the operating to fill the hole.
That's a bad doggy.
Seems like.
Well, and I've got an idea about how to maybe stop that from happening in the future. There was a bill this year dealing with MOTCA, which is the Model Toxic Control Account. And basically, MOTCA was a similar thing. It's the hazardous waste or hazardous substance tax goes into that, funds MOTCA. MOTCA then goes out and the dollars go out to clean up these projects around the state that are polluted sites. MOTCA had a balance. The legislature swept that throughout the years. The folks that pay the tax got together with others this year, ran a bill to clarify and kind of reprioritize what the MOTCA funds go to, kind of created a whole nother account that the extra dollars go into, and that's kind of a minutia thing for this discussion. But what they did is the money had a fence around it, and by passing the bill, they put a bigger fence around it. And the legislature can still go in and sweep that money. Nothing really can stop the legislature from doing that. But the fact that they had a discussion about MOTCA this year, and like I said, put a bigger fence around it, I think they've made it politically more difficult to sweep in the future. And I think there's some parallels that you can have with the Public Works Trust Fund, Public Works Assistance Account, same things. I think there's some parallels there that if you recodified it, talked about reprioritizing some of the projects within, which has its own pitfalls because there are certain entities that want the money to go to certain things. So it's not as simple as just adding new things. There's always been talk of funding jails out of it. Well, the folks that started the account don't want jails funded out of it because they want it to go to what they were working on. Cities should be on board with it, counties, ports. There will be elements of labor that would support it, elements of the business community that support it. So if we had
utility districts,
right, if you had a broad enough coalition of folks working it, there's potential to maybe slow down or stop the sweeps from happening in the future. The other thing too with the sweeps is they could reduce too if just the economy gets better. If there's more tax revenue, more things like that, more dollars funded in the general fund, the desire to do the sweep will be less. But that's something I had mentioned in a email post session to you all that I have some ideas on how to stop those sweeps from happening in the future, so you can use those infrastructure dollars.
That sounds good.
And if it's perfect, if it's the will of the board, I guess I've heard from two or three.
Yeah.
So I'll work with
I'll
work with some of my colleagues on that. Trying to build a group or a coalition to stop the sweeps from happening.
Okay.
But no other capital budget requests, buildings
well,
we want.
We'll ask around again. Ask the departments. Ask our departments. We've gotten. I forget. Did we get all of our rail money from the transportation budget, or did we get some?
Well, we didn't get any new this year. But
not this year.
That'll
but
be
in general.
Well, and I think we'll talk about that with the transportation part. But yes.
But did we get some from capital budget? I forget.
We in the years past we got. It was in the capital budget, but that was odd. The other years, it's always been in the transportation
okay.
budget.
All right, cool.
Right.
Yeah, because we just got $670,000 for their to upgrade our railroad.
Right, but that was money that was appropriated in past sessions.
Okay.
But that the money came through probably finally. So shifting to the operating budget side, I know it's Adriana, is that the way I pronounce her name probably? She talked to you this morning. I had been talking to her late last week and over the weekend about some of the shared revenues that we thought the county may lose, which at the end of the day we did not lose. Mm-hmm. But you did get hit on the liquor funds. It's a smaller hit to you than it is to cities because the liquor funds split about 80-20 in favor of the cities. So you will see a smaller reduction in your liquor fund. But again, she probably went over that this morning. And I think there was some issue on the retirement contributions as well. But on balance, the counties in general, local government in general, did pretty well in the operating budget in that there was not a lot of big whacks at criminal justice monies, which is, your biggest portion of the general fund or operating budget that supports the business here in the criminal justice business, and as well as the substance abuse issue. I know there was some concern that substance abuse dollars were going to be taken down in some of the original budget proposals. The House was up here, Senate was down here, and then they kind of ended up back up at the high level, so nothing was lost. So on balance, that was good.
I prevailed on the Senate to go back to the House level.
So. Right.
After I heard from you guys.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
So yeah, I mean, that, and on balance, I was pretty happy with the way session turned out in terms of all those shared revenues. So I don't know if there's under specifics within, we think, amongst the operating budget, or just maintain the, keep those shared revenues where they were.
Some of the things that were said today, and that was in generality, that we could lose 50% from the pass-through money that comes from the state back to the county.
That was the liquor.
That was the liquor.
Yeah, that was
so the liquor. Yeah. And it's a little, the liquor one's a little confusing because in 2012 you got this much, and I don't know what your exact take was. Mm-hmm. In 2012 you got this much. In 2013 the legislature took half of that. But then they've restored part of it. So you're still not getting everything you got in 2012, but you're getting more than you got last year. It was the net effect of it.
You've got increased sales.
But you're going to grow some of that out of that, because part of what you get is the liquor profit, and you get both profit and sales and taxes. Right. But the profit growing, so your piece of the pie is getting bigger. So you're still probably not whole to what you were 2 years ago, but you're more than you were last year, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So
other than the liquor sales were down.
Liquor sales are up.
And we were up.
Pretty significantly after the initiative, yeah.
Yep.
At least in Oregon, for sure.
Well, I don't know what's in Oregon. Maybe South as Washington.
Just a reminder, there's no sales tax in Oregon.
at least what I read in the paper, that's what I read. So.
All right.
But anyway. And then on the transportation budget, shift into that. I mean, obviously, we know what happened with the CRC funds, and I know what your position is on that, so I don't think we need to go into that anymore. I met your new gentleman with the railroad yesterday, and he exchanged an email with me, and we'll talk on the phone. I'll talk to Eric Temple, too, from a strategy standpoint, in terms of what our ask could be. I think we've got a good shot of getting something in the transportation budget this year, this being 2014, because I actually do think there's momentum for the legislature to take up a package. It's been my experience with revenue packages for transportation, they usually take about 3 years to pass. And this would have been year two. Well, mm-hmm. Probably more like year one and a half. They kind of started talking about it last session. Obviously, it was a big focus at the end of this session, and it'll be another topic next session.
Well, we're going to have to be, and we as a board need to talk about, like, how do we assure that Southwest Washington gets its share of that, because if we're not getting mega project funding, the worst, and I've told Senator Benton this, the worst case scenario for me is that the gas tax goes up 10.5 cents and Southwest Washington has nothing to show for it. That's the worst case, is that our citizens are paying more so that people in Seattle and Spokane can get better transportation projects. So we as a board and we as a local community need to be talking about, all right, how do we make sure we get our share and work with our legislators so that that occurs.
One of the good pieces of news on the discussion around the transportation package this year in Olympia was pretty well universal in every proposal I saw, that there would be a direct distribution to local government. It's not huge. Well, it's more than it was. Just M&O dollars for you. It's here. Here's some money to go
really
fix some. It's not a lot, but it's
pretty good.
It's,
when I mean,
Commissioner Mielke was in the legislature, and
in our
when you were probably back in the House or probably in the Senate, there was, historically, those packages did give M&O dollars, and then the last two or three gave none.
Yeah.
So this is a step in the right direction. It's you know, it's never enough for everybody, but it's a step in the right direction. So that could also be a component of something you'd want to ask for more of as well.
Well, what we did, Mike, we kind of rolled away from a couple of the projects that we had, mm-hmm. and put that in the M&O. So if that M&O comes back, we'd like to make sure it's flexible,
mm-hmm.
that we can put back into a capital project.
And so, yeah, like you mentioned, if there are specific projects, as the way DOT grabs those is through RTC. So making sure that what are your priorities are RTC's priorities, then they're getting transmitted to WASDOT. So just making sure that that's what's happening.
And you know, one of the ones that we've always had on the board was 179th, but the state didn't have their portion into that.
Mm-hmm.
So as we come back with a mega project, that could be a mega project that the state come through there and redo that portion of I-5 that they weren't involved with before.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned the railroad, so Chilachi, I think we've got a shot, and I'll work with the new director and we'll come up with a specific ask. We've been, in the past, we've been pretty successful about getting money with kind of just a blanket ask, just kind of more of a give us some money, but I think strategically this year I want to come up with more of a, I described it as a crooked number yesterday. That's whatever, meaning don't just give us $2 million, 2.7 for this or whatever the exact numbers we need are. So we'll do that.
There's one or two groups talking about salvaging a bridge crossing.
Okay.
I don't know what's going to come of that.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep you looped in, though.
I'll talk to him and loop in with him. So
good.
And when it comes to, you don't expect any kind of a special session to be called again around September this year, right? Maybe first time in how long, how many years?
There's certainly talk about it. I don't think any of the talk's real serious right now, given that, you know, we were there until the end of June and everybody's really only been home for 2 weeks, and once the legislators are home, they want to be home. I don't see the will to do it, given that if you're going to call them back in September, why do that? Because you're going right back in January anyway. I say that right now, but I'll keep my ear to the ground. And I talked to my colleagues all summer and talked to legislators and here, and we'll see what happens.
It's really impacted people. I mean, you can't live off that salary. It pulls them away from whatever other normal income they would be making to go up there.
Mm-hmm. 50 grand is the median income in this county. You get that right.
Well, I'm talking about, what are they, the house and the day, like 40-some thousand?
Yeah, by the time you get your per diem and stuff, you get about 50 grand a year.
Yeah, they live off that for Clark County and be in some kind of a meaningful position where you're contributing to the people around you.
It is definitely close. I think most would say it's pretty close to, you know, it's closer to full-time work than it is part-time for what you put into it with campaigns and with.
Oh yeah, with work. Yeah, it's not a question of how much work. It's a question of how much.
You know, some of the talk to a coming back was in the last week or so session, and people were pretty tired and pretty frayed, and rhetoric was rising, and a lot of that was said then. And it's been pretty quiet since then. So.
Who decides?
Well, the governor can call him back, or the legislature itself can call him back, but I can't imagine the legislature calling itself back. I mean,
so maybe the governor.
I don't see that.
If it happens, it's going to be the governor.
The like I said, I mean, politically, right. You know, you start again. But I mean, that's purely my opinion as of right now. So
that's just your best guess.
But yeah, we'll keep an eye on it for sure.
All right,
I'm good.
Other questions?
No, it's much more clear on the phone.
Yeah. And I think we should do the breakfast thing again, by the way.
Yeah, breakfast.
And I know that's way out, but I thought that was really good.
You know, we did it this last time when you were there.
Commissioner Medore came at the end.
I tied it in.
You mean at the Green Meadows?
No. The one that we did just before you took office that we did down at the Hilton where they had the big economic breakfast, and then right afterwards
we went upstairs. The ICC breakfast, and then we grabbed that room upstairs, and we got three-quarters of the delegation in one room, which is pretty odd to be able to do, and I would definitely advocate to do that again.
Yeah, I'll set it up.
Perfect. That's all.
We're going to do the fairgrounds this year, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Utilize our new.
And I'll stay in touch with Axel, and I'll be back a couple more times, clearly, before session starts.
Perfect. Thanks for all your work.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll stick around, too, until you're done today. Okay. I have nowhere else to be.
We're good entertainment.
And at the end of it, it says, so the last item, I'm going to go last first, which is adjournment at 3 p.m. Bill and I have to leave off-site by 3. We've got to be out the door. So
today?
Just so everybody's on the same page with that. You guys can keep talking as long as you want, but I got to take Bill.
Where are you guys going today, then?
What?
Trump's our board meeting.
Oh, I need to meet with city folks, so we need to figure out.
You're throwing us out the window for the city folks.
That's exactly right, man. Now, we meet with them when we can. Plus, I owe him a meeting anyway. All right, county administrator recruitment. We got information, we got all the stuff from Francine, who's not
here. She's
not
here, she's on vacation today.
But we are getting to, I mean, we're middle of July, we've got less than 2 months before Billy's, so we've got to get started on figuring out what is going to be the process and what is the ultimate goal. Is the goal to seek permanent or interim? And then, if we set that, then we can at least set in motion a process.
I personally am looking for interim because I don't want to hire somebody. I had an interesting conversation with Kropitman, the guy who's interviewing
Tom for RTC. Okay.
There could possibly be available interim people with no big money up front and no big money at the end who could come in also. So as an option, I didn't know we had.
Okay.
I was picturing something a lot more costly to do that. And then I also believe, personally, that I would like to have someone here 3-4 weeks before Bill leaves, so that Bill can kind of do OJT with them. And then that brought to question, when is your actual last working day? I don't know if you were taking vacation.
September 10th.
30 days or September 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So count back 4 weeks from there.
Got to get moving.
Okay. Yeah. So that's kind
of. So you're looking interim and commissioner?
Well, I don't think we have a choice for when it comes to interim, because if you're going to get somebody who's employed, you're going to, hopefully, good people are employed out there. And with the freeholders and the charter having a risk of making whoever comes in thinking it's not interim, making it interim, I think we basically by default see the definition. It's an interim position. Maybe it'll turn into a permanent position, but we don't know.
So we're looking at potentially a 1 year, you know, at least
minimum.
A year minimum.
That's what I picture.
Okay.
I was surprised when I talked to that gentleman.
Well, let me, if I can comment on that, that's really a good idea, because Mr. Brothman, he asked me about the RT, you know, I interviewed for the RTC recruitment as a resource, and he reminded me of that as well. And the International City Managers Association does that quite frequently. It's called the Circuit Rider Program for city managers for the same way. And you might recall right now an example that is perfect right in existence is the Parks Director for the City of Vancouver is now one of those circuit riders. He's hired Prothman, helped him find that person. So he has a stable, I shouldn't say stable, he has a groups of people of retired county administrators, retired city managers, and various professional areas that do that. And that's what they do.
And that's what they
explain. It's quite popular.
They were retired older guys about Bill's age.
I did say stable. I could have said zoo, I guess.
Oh, stable. You did have that covered.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got it?
See you later, Don.
It's a very good idea.
Yeah, I would say.
It's something that we put back in our basket of things to consider.
If you'd like me to, I can have Francine pursue that and just see what's available.
The question that I would pursue is that, what does that cost?
Okay.
I know that when they go out and find a permanent person, then there's a pretty good cost to that. But for an interim,
for an older
retired guy.
Lower expectations. Minimum wage was a lot lower when we started. So yeah.
All I only have to do is meet my Medicare.
Yeah.
So why don't we do this? So if I think we're all on the same page with that, you know, we're looking for, we do need to look for an interim county administrator, and I agree that it'd be nice if there was some overlap, which means we need to get started on the process part of that, like get started soon. But without having numbers and seeing what it would look like, it seems like, you know, can we at least have Francine and Bill bring back to us next week a proposal for process to get us an interim county administrator with a minimum of 1 year term.
Got it.
Does that sound all right?
Sounds good.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Excellent. All right, 2.2, marketing piece to promote fee waiver follow-up with Holly Gilbert. Holly Gilbert, what do you got for us?
It's going to be nigh on impossible to get something by August 2nd from an outside group. Berger ABAM is interested in the work, but it can't get done before the fair. Gene Lawson, we apparently have three people that we have sort of standing relationships with. One is not a marketing PR firm. She's more public involvement. At your request, I checked with the fairgrounds, and they have two employees. The fair site management group has two employees who are the marketing division. They contract with three individuals, one who buys ads, media space, a PR somebody, and forgotten the other one. But the five of them then become their ad hoc marketing. So they are already working on the fair. And there's the one comment that came to me was there's no PR firm on this side of the river that's any better than what you can get out of your own PIO office. And the third group...
That's paid advertising.
The third group that we have an association with is also... Marty has contacted them, and he feels it's extraordinarily challenging, was his words. And he has not yet heard back from his initial conversation with them.
I'm leaning toward asking if our staff can do it. And I have some examples of promoting things that we have. And then I come across our report that we have from the PIO office that says that the objective of our PIO is to promote programs and projects, and that kind of fit there. So, and I've seen some of the brochures that we've done for the clean water, books, magazines almost that we put out there that are pretty impressive. So,
award winning, right?
Yeah. So I'm hoping that we could do that in-house.
For a small fee.
Small fee.
It's called a paycheck.
And we have some talented people, and we have the ability to do that. I wanted to make sure that we had the time or put this as a priority to be done.
So, and you showed me the general, which one? The one that was done in partnership. I had two of them. This one.
Yeah,
this one, which I like, I don't know if you've seen it already, David, or not, that it promotes kind of all of the, you know, all of the business-friendly things that are being done by Spokane Valley as opposed to a single project. Here's the caution, and I was trying to think of how to frame this, and there is an easy example, Columbia River Crossing. So Columbia River Crossing you saw as a proponent of its project, right? They were the proponents. I mean, we actually even went so far as to actually put an opponent's website on our website because we said, these guys are proponents, you know, we can't trust their information. You remember all that. So when we did that, it was because that group was seen as self-marketing their project. That's why they got that rap from a lot of people, not just you guys, but from a lot of people, because they were marketing it. So that is the caution that I add to this, is that...
Well, they hired PR firms. They hired advertising firms.
Nevertheless, it was a government agency that was self-promoting a project that was their project. And so it is, you know, again, being consistent in how you apply things. You have yourself and yourselves and plenty of others had said they don't have credibility because they were doing that marketing work, because they weren't just providing information, they were marketing. And so, Columbia River Crossing, yeah. So, I mean, and that was a government-led process, government money, government, you know.
There was. They had problems.
People would look at us and say the same thing.
Yeah, our issue was to... rather than have one side of an issue, to have two sides of an issue. But that's far-fetched from what we have today that we're trying to do. And what we're trying to do today is promote Clark County and its programs. And I would like to do it as more than one program.
And then I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think if you do it that way, then you're not doing specific actions that the board has taken and saying, yay, board, it's, hey, businesses, look what we're doing to try to make things better for you and to bring you here. And you're doing it as a broader spectrum, kind of like what they did there.
So to go back a little bit into our archives, the other positive things that we've done, that's part of our promotion, and put that in there along with the others. Emphasize in the efforts of job creation. And what else? Your imagination.
Do you think that your office could come up with something so that we could have those available by the fair?
Yes, I've talked to Jane Leonard, who would be the graphics person, and I'd be the word person. And it'll be tight, but we feel we can get it done and have it done locally at the print shop.
That'd be great.
And it would be an informational piece. It wouldn't be...
Yeah.
A promotional information.
Well, yeah. Yes, but it's not going to include a big marketing and advertising effort. But yes,
that was the second piece that we talked about, running on two tracks and, you know, getting something quick, but also doing that larger piece.
Come down the road for plan B or second phase or something.
The only way you're going to get it to the fair is if you do an informational piece.
That works.
So we good with that?
I like that.
Yeah, I assume it's going to be one of the more sturdy cardstock kind of flyer. It's going to be a single piece.
Can we give it?
Basically, be a promoter, somewhat like this. It gives you a warm feeling kind of a thing. This is the time. This is the place. If you want to create jobs,
Or if you want a really good corn dog and some onion rings, they're right here too.
It's marketing Clark County. It's advertising Clark County.
The weight of paper, that sort of thing. Those are decisions that Jane makes, and she makes them on practicality and.
The cost of the paper.
And will she bring? And so, why don't we just say you bring us back a draft from Jane, and then we can say,
yeah,
sounds good.
Yes.
Okay.
She is out. She's here tomorrow and Friday, and then she's out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So if she can get something done in 2 days, but certainly by the end of next week, we can at least bring you something, not in this venue, but walk you down the hall with it.
Sounds great. Perfect. Thank you, Holly. Appreciate your work on this. All right.
And she has copies of these little examples.
No, I'll have to take
Let me give you these things, and these are just
examples.
Thanks. Yep.
Probably poor examples.
Yeah, all
right. What are we doing?
Is that next? Yeah, sure.
Okay.
All right. Is Lori on her way?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. Quickly around the horn until she gets your bill.
Parking meters are all set for 5 hours now.
Okay.
In the parking garage.
Great.
Wow. Does the rate change, or is it just it takes more quarters?
It takes more quarters,
of course. we have to pay our bonds.
But you have the option anyway.
Why would they ever set it less? They think it would overfill the parking lot?
It's just normal. 2 hours is pretty normal for that.
But they're making it. We didn't want people staying very long.
You asked last week for a report on fireworks calls, and I got the raw data from the sheriff and the fire marshal.
And I have all of those too, so let's hold off on that.
Okay.
I deleted them.
Well, I have them down a summary form.
Yeah.
One work session request from the Arts Commission asking for a half hour to update you on their work with the Arts of Clark County, and if you saw the article in today's paper, really nice. Really getting into the business aspect of the arts and how it enriches the community. So half hour we can schedule it. And the one thing I'd ask you to consider is that we're into October now with work sessions, and if we could just get, I know you said no afternoon ones, and I know you said nothing before 10 o'clock on times when you have night meetings, but can we eliminate the breaks or at least reduce the amount of breaks? Like this morning, we had all that time between, we could have had another work session in there, and we're all the way out to October for scheduling.
Please.
Actually, we just allowed too much time for the budget.
Exactly. Just shorten the work sessions, you won't have a problem.
See, that only took a half hour. We had them down for an hour.
Okay.
Hold on.
I would say, in order for us to be flexible to optimize it, I would encourage you to bring them the board time, and we'll do what we can to put those ones in that we really shouldn't put off.
When you bring a work session request, bring the ones that haven't been scheduled, and also if we're getting loaded up, or if you're needing to bring one in, bring in our calendar or the schedule and say, hey, this is what you're scheduled for next week for your board or for the 2 weeks out. Can we add one here? So on a case by case basis, that we can be flexible about adding amendments of the kids.
Lori, sir.
All right. Perfect. All right. CRC ballot measure and election time frames. Lori, thank you for joining us. Are you leading us off on this, or do we want to lead?
Lori,
all you.
Based on your last board time of creating this light rail resolution, I worked with Commissioner Madore to figure out the forms and the timing that would be required. I have run through the timing and found the RCW that requires that any resolution adopted needs a regular 10-day notice and public hearing. So working backwards from the August 6th deadline at the assessor's office, this Friday is going to be your last day to do notice because the 20th falls on a Saturday.
Okay.
So this Friday the 19th is going to be your deadline in order to get notice put on the regular board hearing time, public hearing time, and we have, in anticipation of that, worked on a draft that will be submitted, I believe, at the next hearing, public hearing. So this is the one that would go out. I apologize. It's a full house. I have six copies.
That's okay. Just make sure we get them.
Kelly can make some copies.
So the notice would go out this Friday. You just said, though, this would be at our next hearing, Lori. I don't understand.
So this gives you one more board time to discuss language, but
we still have to notice it this Friday, by this Friday.
Yeah, you can notice it generally.
So you do notice Friday for the July 30 public hearing, and then July 24th would be your final board time conversation about the issue, and then you'd have the authorizing resolution going up for a vote at the July 30 public hearing.
Okay. So we now have a draft to look at. Are there any other? So first of all, are we okay with going ahead with the notice on Friday, doing the general noticing?
Absolutely.
Okay. So general notice, we move forward by the Friday deadline.
Are you sure they can get it in the paper? Have you talked to Rebecca about that?
Tell them today, I'm sure they can.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
So Axel's on it.
Axel's on it.
So I have a question, Lori. For example, when the board takes action and says put something on the ballot, and I'll use freeholders for an example, we weren't meeting the deadline, and so what they did, they moved the elections office, moved everything in perspective to still get it done for the general election. So is the August 6th for the general election?
General election.
So when we did the freeholders, they made adjustments for the requirements of, for example, candidates filing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for candidate filing.
But that's because we're doing candidate filing start on the 5th.
Two different things.
Well, that's what I'm kind of comparing it with.
Right.
So if August 10th, the board comes up and says, I want to put on the ballot fireworks. Can I put that on the ballot?
Not if you need a public hearing. Within the same time frame.
Anything that we want to put on the ballot has to be done by August 9th, right? Or 8th?
6th.
It is 6th.
But in this case, we're doing it with a resolution because it's an advisory vote. So
that's
that
what
might
I
be your
notice.
Distinction.
So that would make it a difference. So can I put on an advisory vote for anything after August 6th?
Into another election, but not make
for
it
the general.
General election.
Not for the general election.
She said she has to have it tomorrow.
Good. So you have the go-ahead as far as getting the general notice out. As far as the content associated with this, we have till next board time to finalize this. This is the first that I've seen it. I don't know if you... if it's okay. Sure. We'll do our homework, come back next week, finalize language.
But you make notice. Do the notice now.
But do you do the notice now? So we're legally locked in.
Can you do that?
Yes. Fireworks?
Yeah, that's the next item on the list.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the next item I'm just going to bring up, and I would love Lori to stay for just
all
a
right.
bit more.
All right.
So do we have what we need on the CRC stuff for now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, and we'll come back next week with conversation of the specific ballot language, resolution language to go to hearing. Cool. All right, advisory vote regarding...
And that's okay, Lori. We have, for the time frame, are we supposed to publish something ahead of time to make... Or should we just... wait till the hearing to amend this?
You can wait till the hearing to amend it. The way you would normally handle that is say this is the version that was originally proposed, this is the amended version.
Amended and vote on it.
Yeah,
amended.
Let's do that, because then it's in the public process, and it's a... because we've gone through this with the fee waiver thing. We decided to just lock it and amend it in public.
That works.
We haven't even looked at it, so we're not. I wouldn't feel comfortable locking in language until we talk about it next week. I mean, because we haven't even looked at the language, so to lock in language that I don't even know what it says yet, I'm not comfortable with.
But we still have time to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I can
okay.
come, you want me next board time?
That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Lori. Okay. All right. Next item, fireworks.
I'm sorry. One more issue on light rail first. So this will have a staff report associated with it. It can be drafted by board staff or... PA's office can do it, I can do the drafting and have it submitted by
board
staff.
Why don't you work with Axel?
Yeah.
Okay.
In combination, since you guys are the ones who have to bless it to get it on the ballot, it'd be good to have you involved in it, certainly.
Okay.
Cool.
Since the election.
Anything else on that?
10th, I don't need to be involved.
Lori, anything else on that?
No.
Okay. All right. So fireworks. And I only had 6 as well. I don't know why 6 is the magic number today for stuff, but all right. This is the proposal. The proposal would be to go to an advisory vote on the discharge of fireworks. First of all, this is my stack of emails from just this year of people having issues associated with the discharge of fireworks in Clark County. Currently, we got what others have been doing. City of Vancouver changed their rule, and so that in 2014 they will have one day of discharge allowed, July 4th. Snohomish County allows it on July 4th only. Spokane County, they are banned. In Cowlitz County, Woodland bans the personal use of fireworks. So, and then there are a lot of other, there are differences within that. In our cities within Clark County, Washougal and Vancouver will have one day. Battleground has 8. Camas has 4. La Center has 6. Ridgefield has 8.
What about New Year's?
Nobody does New Year's anymore. They're all locked out. So based on that, and based on the and truly, it was this note that I got that spurred me. And we get the general ones, but I got this handwritten note from a 7.5-year-old girl who specifically said that I think you should change the law and make it shorter amount of time, because when you do it this long, I can't sleep. It doesn't make 4th of July special. Please write back. So I'm going to be writing back to this young lady. The ballot language that I took was actually, I took language that had been used in Bainbridge Island, and I adopted it. I adjusted it to work for Clark County. It would marry up our guidelines with what City of Vancouver and what Washougal do. And it would ask the question, should Clark County enact a local ordinance consistent with state law that would limit in the unincorporated areas of Clark County the use of consumer fireworks, which are defined in RCWs, to July 4 of every year? That would be the official ballot title. There's an explanatory statement that, again, I lifted language from what had been used in Bainbridge Island in their advisory vote, because they did an advisory vote on this as well 4 or 5 years ago.
So this doesn't change the purchase dates.
It does not, and that was something I wanted to talk with you guys about. What City of Vancouver is moving toward is 3 days of purchase, because then people from Portland or from other jurisdictions can come in, and they can, and the nonprofits can, get revenue from that for 3 days, and then there's 1 day of discharge.
What do we have now?
We currently have 8 days of everything. No, wait, 7 days of everything. Sorry. Because we took away July 5th. So we have 7 days for everything right now.
Another question.
Okay. Yes, sir.
It talks about the use.
Yes.
But in your last paragraph, it says the results will be considered by the Board of Community County Commissioners deciding whether they should enact further limits on the sale.
Right.
Did you mean to say on the sale?
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to talk with you about. Yes, I meant to say that all of this is advisory only. And so the question was, did I want to put in sales and use and mirror directly what City of Vancouver is moving toward with 3 days of sales and 1 day of discharge, which is where I would propose that we actually put it and that it be specified within this. And say, hey, what do you think? Do you want to mirror that? Do you want to have 3 days of sales and 1 day of discharge? And that's why I had the sale and use, because there are two aspects of this.
Mm-hmm. I would think that if the idea is to be able to restrict it to 4th of July, there would be more people more inclined to vote for that if they didn't feel like, oh, they're also going to restrict the sale.
Right.
So you're really cutting out people because of that reservation.
We don't have cutoff time, like midnight.
Right.
So yeah, it's not specific. It just says, well, they're going to... It's already pretty short.
Yeah, so I suggest that we make notice of this.
Make notice of?
Of putting this on the ballot.
Okay.
And bring it back next week with CRC.
Okay. Good. I will.
And
so
time to work on it.
Do you want me to? And I'll add the 3 day sale period that would mirror that and put that language
in
here.
Sure, if I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
But give me time to think about it.
Perfect.
And discuss it. And then
the more specific we can be.
But we're going to put it on the ballot in some form or another.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great. Thank you very much for considering that. I will definitely, we'll bring it back next week. I'll create a little more specific language to be able to have that for everybody.
Anything else?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. What we do. Hold on. Sorry.
We have two bonuses.
Wait. So, all right. So we've got, so nothing else as far as fireworks. We've got CRC ballot stuff done. So we're done with that part of it. On to the board part of it. You said you have a couple of...
We have two bonuses.
All right.
Before we did it, is Lori able to do the notice?
I'm assuming we need notice this Friday on the fireworks also.
But do we need that notice requirement? Because it wouldn't be a resolution. It's a single question going to the ballot, so it doesn't have the same notice requirements.
Unless you're putting it on the ballot as an individual, which I don't think you're going to do, you pass it as a resolution, and you give the board authority to put it on the ballot, so yes.
Oh, it still does have that same notice requirement?
Right. Yes.
So if we give that notice, if we say, hey, we will be considering this, we still have the freedom to say we're not going to do this?
Yes.
Are we okay with that?
Advisory only. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, in other words, you err on the side of notice, and
so it gives us
otherwise you close the door.
Otherwise
you
close
can't
it.
Do it.
So we draft a resolution between now and next week?
No.
Sure.
Same idea. I mean, it's relatively simple. I mean, as far as, you know, this and... it would require notice. Are we okay, you know, giving the general notice, giving ourselves the freedom?
General notice for, since the...
An advisory vote on the...
There's not going to be specifics on the number of days, correct? Because that's still...
Not within the general notice.
So, to change...
Yeah.
To change the fireworks laws related to the period of time, something along those lines.
Something along those lines. Yeah, something general enough to be able to capture what we might end up with, but giving us the freedom within.
You'll be capturing the room full of people if you make it general.
Okay. I want five days.
Not the resolution. It shouldn't be general
days.
Within that. I'm saying for the notice.
For the notice, it's a lot more general.
So just one question. Is that notice specifically for an unincorporated area?
Yes. It has to be. Yes, we won't have authority on that.
Put it in the paper.
Yeah.
You have to say it for
for countywide. Right?
Exactly.
Attendance has been kind of light these days.
Why does they get the vote on our stuff? We don't get the.
It really is a problem.
It'll be a hell of a meeting on the 30th.
I agree. We'll have some fun. All right. Bring some sparklers.
We were kidding about putting other things on the ballot.
See, that's what you get for joking about stuff like that.
I thought he had more besides this.
Oh, no. He said that there's two more things, though, that
yes, Lori's got two other resolutions.
Two more resolutions.
So well, the
he's
other
the one. He's the one. All right.
I'm the guilty party.
Uh-huh. All right, hold on, everybody.
Let me at least get one of these
Holly.
Here before I pass them around.
Yeah, get Kelly.
Kelly, one discussion,
each.
Please.
There's going to be two, Kelly.
Pass that around. The other two resolutions are the Third Bridge or East County Columbia River Bridge advisory vote and an advisory vote related to high-capacity transit in the form of bus rapid transit. Same issue really as the other two advisory votes we've covered, which is you have language to review, the board can consider it and come back for the next board time, but we need to get notice into the paper, which the deadline is tomorrow.
So you're wanting these to go to the ballot this November?
Yes, sir.
So you have no cost projections associated with a third?
Yes, I do.
You do, but the $900 million is a on back of the envelope projection. There has not been any formal analysis of the cost. So as we get to specifics, the question would be, can you come up with enough specifics on something to meet an August deadline for this year's ballot? And once again, we had this long conversation last week. Do you want to start with a solution or do you want to start with a problem? Because if you haven't identified clearly what the problem is you're trying to solve, then identifying a solution to solve a problem that people can't agree on is presumptuous and it gets the cart ahead of the horse. So I get concerned about that on this one. On the BRT one, I haven't looked at it yet, but that one seems pretty straightforward as far as saying, hey, you want BRT or not. I'm sure the West Side people will be a little uptight that, you know, you're like, wait, where are we with our West Side? Why don't we get a resolution?
I thought that $900 million was the number that C-Tran was using forever.
Not for a 192nd bridge. They haven't done any analysis to see what it would cost to actually do a bridge. Plus, you have to have the connections associated with that.
Oh, I see that one. I thought, okay, I got the two.
Because it can't just stop. You have to connect to something.
So, in the interest of time and moving forward, but give notice and bring these back next week.
Yeah, one thing really nice about the freeholders being on this November's election is that if we ever had an opportunity to have a low-cost way to ask the voters for advice on big issues that affect us, like fireworks, $5,000 to $7,000 compared to $75,000 to $100,000 per question for a countywide advisory vote, it's a deal. What an opportunity.
I don't know what question you're asking, but I mean, I agree with you as far as the value proposition associated, but with the, you know, with the, you know, in any value proposition, you have to look at the cost and the benefit. And so that's what I mean, it's fine to notice these things. I'm going to have to read these really close to see what, for at least from my perspective, what the value to the citizens, you know, what the benefit is to the citizens.
Okay. CTRAN should have done a long time ago.
CTRAN, depending on their authority associated with it. I mean, and then we also, have we done any legal analysis to decide whether we have legal authority over any of this? I mean, because we don't have authority within the Columbia River, and we don't even have authority. We don't have, it's not unincorporated at 192nd. It's actually incorporated where it would land, so we don't have any jurisdiction over that. So, how, I mean, if we don't have any jurisdiction over the project because it lands in Oregon on one side, it's in the middle, it's a river, and then on our side it's Camas or Vancouver, depending on where you land. How do we have authority? And BRT, we have no funding authority over that either.
I brought up the other day that we should be looking at recognizing a regionalization of the Clark County transportation system, and CTRAN, and this is part of Clark County's transportation system. So I don't want to just throw it out. I want to look at it and come to a decision.
And that's fine. I'm just looking at our legal. That ultimately, they're going to be the ones who have to decide whether it can get onto the ballot or not legally to be able to sustain a challenge that someone might bring to us going and asking a question that's not our purview. So I don't know. Have you done a legal analysis on these?
Yes. The way that the BRT resolution is written is consistent with the light rail project. So it talks about the board's voting position on the various transportation boards and limits its authority to that issue. The third bridge is a little bit different. And I think if you look at it, the way that it's worded asks the voters if the Clark County Board of Commissioners should explore explore the feasibility. So it would give the commissioners authority to explore the feasibility, for example, to propose it to CTRAN or propose it to one of the transportation boards, which, as voting members, I assume you can propose alternatives. But it's limited in its authority. It says, should we explore the feasibility?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of whereases and becauses and all of that, though, that may end up creating a color and coloring it to make it outside of our purview.
Do you have one for the third bridge now?
You know, I actually we contacted Sharon Nassett and asked her to supply information for us to be able to get enough information. We ran out of time.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. You know, I think that these are things that have been asked for a long time, and the direction has been all over the place. I would like to consider it and come back next week, but like everything else, we make notice. We reserve the right to not put it on, but it gives us, because of the time frame, we can look at it, consider it, and pull it off next week if we come to a conclusion we don't like it or we do like it.
So, and this
that's
is
my recommendation.
So going back to this, so light rail advisory vote, this is specific to light rail. It's not specific to the replacement of the existing I-5 bridge. You're asking about a new bridge for 192nd, but you're not actually asking about replacing the existing bridge and whether people support that. I'm just curious why.
Because the current bridge looks great.
That's
looks
your opinion.
Great. It has.
That's your opinion, but why wouldn't you ask the people that? If you're asked, I mean, that's your opinion. I disagree with that opinion. Why not ask the people?
Well, because the Army Corps of Engineers already answered that question. They're good with the bridge. It's got no
really?
Weight limitations.
So everybody's good with this bridge?
So Army Corps of Engineers has put no limitations on that bridge. It's a perfectly safe bridge.
No. First of all, we can argue the sufficiency and the adequacy of the bridge all day long. But but they also haven't said that you need a third bridge. I mean, the Army Corps of Engineers hasn't, if you're going to rely on them. So, again, you're asking the people whether they agree with a proposal to create a third bridge at 192nd, but you're not asking them if they would replace the existing I-5 bridge. Seems like you're... I mean, why? If you're not afraid of the answer, why don't you ask the question?
I want to ask them smart questions, not dumb ones.
Then why are you putting these forward? Well, I mean, ultimately, if you're asking good questions...
Because
then
within a week, I can only come up with three resolutions and three dollar bridges.
Well, I'm just worried that you
have... He does the first one.
No, it just says light rail, and that's the only piece of it, but it's mentioned. Columbia River Crossing is mentioned. So,
one thing really good is already it's spawning some conversation, which is a good thing. People are seeking direction. Mm-hmm. And Lori, I would encourage you to make sure that whatever we do to cover the bases, if there's some wording or something, especially on the West County or the East County Bridge, that if it should be worded in a way that will stand up to more challenge, that you recommend.
Well, and my recommendation is on the notice for the light rail advisory vote that you actually change it to a Columbia River Crossing light rail pulling project, whatever you want to say, advisory vote, because then that gives us the freedom and the flexibility to determine the proper language so that if we are actually asking about more than just your part of the project that you don't like, but actually replacing the interstate bridge, then that gives us the freedom to be able to do that. And if you're not afraid of the answer, you shouldn't be afraid to ask the question. So,
well, certainly we're asking the question, so that must mean I'm not afraid of the answer.
Well, you're asking specifically about light rail. You're not asking about replacing the I-5 bridge. Say the Columbia River Crossing project, and then that gives the flexibility to put more language in that actually has all the project components.
Then you're asking about a project that's already dead. This could live again.
Well,
this is a whack-a-mole.
But you already are. You said Columbia River Crossing, light rail tolling project. You're already saying the words in here in your becauses and all of this stuff. You're already saying that. So... if you're saying that already, then why wouldn't you put it in the notice and so that you actually have the flexibility to be able to have it?
Oh, I think it'd be a good idea for each of us to go read it, study it, make sure we understand what it says, and see the flow and the logic and the sense behind it.
So if we don't do the notice broadly enough, though, then it does already preclude us from asking a question about something other than light rail. Because if we do the notice and specifically say, we will be discussing an advisory vote on light rail, then it does limit us to only light rail. And everything that you say about the Columbia River Crossing, I'm going to make sure it gets deleted because it will be an illegal scoping associated with it. Because ultimately, if you say the scope of this is light rail, then you cannot say the rest of this about Columbia River Crossing. Now, if you want to ask about Columbia River Crossing, you want to use that as your hammer, then you got to put that in the actual notice to be able to include it.
So I have a suggestion. You've submitted these. You want to submit the one on Columbia River?
No, I'm just saying all you have to do is broaden the title to say CRC. I just did.
If you feel like
the CRC advisory vote resolution. There you go. I just came up with it.
Well, I would encourage you at $5,000 to $7,000 per question. If you feel like there's a question that we ought to ask that should we replace this bridge or whatever, be my guest.
The CRC advisory vote resolution. There you go. I just did it for you. It took me like 2 seconds. I'm done.
Do it for you.
I just
did.
You
have my support.
But what
whatever
I'm saying
you want to come
is,
up with.
So good. Then we cross out light rail and we put CRC.
It's a stupid solution.
We're doing scoping of it.
I think it comes back to the value of it. I don't think we have as much authority to ask about the CRC project as we do about light rail.
Yet we can ask about a third bridge.
Because the third bridge is asked differently. And you explain that.
It's not true. It's not about that. You're parsing. Ultimately, you either ask the question or you don't. I mean, either you ask about, you either want to get an answer as to whether you need to replace the I-5 bridge, or you don't. And if you choose not to, then you are already prejudging a conclusion. And if somebody says, I could absolutely see people saying, yeah, absolutely, you should look into the feasibility of a third bridge. I could also see them saying, yeah, you should absolutely look into a feasibility of a port crossing and replacing the I-5 bridge. Of course they're going to say that. I mean, where's the value?
Let me suggest this. Put it on notice. One more thing for next week, so the public notice will be. You might be able to vote on this too. You can put together a resolution and verbiage for that to be brought forward also next week. Then we'll look at all of them next week.
Sure. Well, actually, did you want to leave the door open for you to come up with a resolution to be able to replace the bridge? Because you can give notice on it. Leave the door open for you to
I am leaving the door open by actually creating a broader title associated with that. Okay. That is leaving it open. I mean, that's the idea of just saying notice it broadly enough that we can then have the discussion about do we include, you hated tolling. I mean, you can't put tolling in this resolution if it's only scoped to say light rail. Because unless you have tolling as part of the finance plan to pay for any light rail anywhere.
Let's look at it next week. We believe the door is open.
Lori, do you believe legally?
For an additional or broader definition.
Is the door open for a broader definition if we notice this as light rail?
Or an additional issue?
Yeah, what's the question?
Yeah.
So I asked a specific question. My specific question was, I'll ask you, what is the legal notice that you were planning on giving for the light rail advisory club?
I have not drafted it yet. The legal notice in the paper can be more broad than the
I know what it can be. What were you planning on doing?
Didn't have a plan for it yet.
Okay.
And I think to some extent you're confusing what can be in the resolution versus the neutral language that has to be in the ballot title. So
I'm not. I'm talking about surely the legal notice, because the legal notice provides us the parameters of what we may adopt. If we go outside of the parameters of the legal notice that we give, we are outside of the bounds of what we can do, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So we have to have our legal notice broad enough to be able to capture any amendments we may make within this.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
So
that's answering. No.
So the legal notice has to be broad enough.
So if I say, so now my question, if the legal notice specifically says we will be discussing an advisory vote resolution for light rail, do we then have the flexibility to discuss replacement of the I-5 bridge?
Or
Columbia River Crossing. Yeah, put more broad. Can we talk about Columbia River Crossing?
I would be concerned about the term Columbia River Crossing because it includes the
things that are not light rail.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point.
So if you want to discuss bridge replacement, it feels like that needs to be a separate notice or a separate issue, and it can always be killed between now and then.
And if you say Columbia River Crossing includes bridge replacement and it includes light rail?
It
does.
It includes so much.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, this
so
is
it gives you flexibility ultimately to go.
Changes and everything.
And then ultimately, if we decided within that you only wanted to discuss a single piece of that, you have the flexibility to be able to do that. But it gives us the ability to figure out which pieces, all one, whatever.
It's possibly confusing, however, in that it's a dead project. And that term is used to
that
describe.
Term has been used in the paper a million
Agreed.
Times. There's no confusion over the camps, the parties, on either side of it. I don't see that in a legal notice. If you say we're considering an advisory vote on CRC, guaranteed people know what we mean.
I think that needs to be brought up individually rather than try to incorporate it in this one. And so we might ask for a separate one. So we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
So, and what I will say is that if, based on our legal discussion here, if you notice it to be purely about light rail, then anything associated with the Columbia River Crossing will be deleted from this. Legally, will get deleted from this because we, within the scope of our notice, then our notice is only to discuss something on light rail. The Columbia River Crossing, as we have all agreed, it has more components than light rail. So you cannot have both. You can't have it both ways. You're either going to say light rail, and we want you to say pro or con on light rail, or you can say Columbia River Crossing.
If you have opinions of you want to modify this resolution between now and then, I would welcome
I want the flexibility in the notice to be able to have that conversation. If we don't have the notice flexibility, then like I've already made it 100% clear. I'm sorry if it's not as clear as it should be for you. That ultimately, it's either you have a broad notice, and then we have that flexibility of discussion of which components to include, or we have a narrow notice on light rail, and anything associated with anything other than light rail, we will have a discussion, but the discussion will be which pieces have to be removed from any resolution that moves forward because it won't be able to be adopted because it's outside the scope of what we've noticed.
I think we could do that, but tolling is part of paying for the light rail.
For one project, it was. For every light rail project?
So it could be included.
If you're talking about one project, one light rail project.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying. If you make it too broad, you muddy the water for this proposal. And I wouldn't want to muddy his any more than I want to muddy yours. So I would suggest that.
So I got one more advisory vote that we can notice then, because there's a petition going around to move from 3 to 5 commissioners, and we can put that on the ballot ourselves. So why don't we notice that? I mean, since it's cheap, it's $5,000 to $7,000. I mean, we should trust the people, right? So we can do that ourselves. We can actually notice it, and we can place something on the ballot to move from 3 to 5 commissioners. You guys good with noticing that?
I thought that was going to be considered with the freeholder.
Potentially. It can be considered as part of a charter, or it can be considered outside of a charter. Under the statute, we can actually authorize the vote of the people ourselves, or the petition can work, but there's a petition happening.
I wouldn't want to pre-guess the freeholders, and I'd leave that up to them. If they don't do that, we could do that later.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It's cheap right now. I mean, it's a great deal to put more things on the ballot.
That's true. Come up with something else.
But we don't. And we've provided a great way for the people to be able to participate in that decision and any other decision as how they want people to have their government work for them.
Okay.
So we don't want to second guess them and notice that.
We don't want to give them another opportunity or another option.
I'd like to leave it open if you want to propose that.
Well, we have to do our notice by, like, tomorrow. We have to have notice in.
Is that possible?
Yes, it is.
So that'd be what you propose.
Which would be what?
The Columbia River Project.
No, I'll just draft one that specifically says the replacement, I-5 bridge replacement.
Okay.
Advisory.
Yeah.
Vote. And I'll just, it's a really simple one. Do you want to replace, do you think we should examine the feasibility of replacing the I-5 bridge?
Good option.
Okay. I'll bring language next week. We'll do the noticing.
Are you serious? You really think that's an appropriate question?
It's at least as appropriate as every other question you're asking here. And it's actually, it's at least as appropriate as the questions that you're posing here. And it's not nearly as bombastic in the language. So,
okay.
All right. Cool. So, any more surprises?
I don't like that look.
I
don't know. I haven't seen these, and you just dumped them on us. That was it? All right. So, no more surprises. All right. Lori, do you have what you need?
We got 5 notices going.
Got a whole bunch of notices.
I just want to run down. So, we've got light rail, bridge replacement, bus rapid transit, fireworks, and East County Bridge.
That's correct.
Yep.
Got them all?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Okay.
You got some work to do.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you.
All right.
Sorry, Lori.
All right. Anything else from the commissioners?
Yeah.
Sir?
I'll let you know if
you want to do staff first. Or?
We've got a total of 15 minutes before we leave.
Oh, I'm going to go first then.
That's what I'm saying.
I want to share with you that we've been trying to make decisions on the park, and I've asked Capel for a financial breakdown as to those different items of cost in our park, such as our architects, engineering, and that kind of thing. So cool. I think and it's a cost for FTEs to do those different functions.
Oh, I do.
This morning, and an email we got from Peter Van Nordwijk through reorganization.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You all got the same
maps,
email. Just a consideration. I don't think it's a bad idea.
I haven't talked. They're talking.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So
you guys are talking with them, and can you report back to us on kind of the proposal?
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's just an idea.
Within GIS, there is a component that assessor's office uses a lot, and it used to be assessor and GIS was together. GIS was separated, which has worked really well. Even Peter said, hey, it works really well, but there is one aspect of GIS he still wants to see connected with them and not moved to another area. So that's what they're working on.
Equip them well.
Push together. Yeah.
And then I found out that we pay for 29 subscriptions of the Columbian.
And we were going to get an analysis of who gets them and why.
Well, I don't think that we should have any of them. I think we're paying someone to read the paper during working hours. If there's certain people that seem to need that for their work, I'd like to hear that. But I would think that works.
I need it for my job, for sure.
I think that... you want to know what they're saying afterwards or before?
Well, I expect that some people need to be able to to their job.
So if we can do that, go back and identify those. I'm having trouble.
We've done that.
I'm having trouble finding out where 29 subscriptions.
So can you give us that information, and then we'll come back next week and talk it through?
Sure. Perfect. In the interest of time. That's
Thank you, sir. Okay. I appreciate that.
We had some things on positions. Do you want to put that off
for
next week?
No, no. We had, I mean, I've gone through mine. Did you have a chance to go through mine.
I have a hold on the majority of them. Okay. And questions, and that's all my flagging is.
So can we take this next week, get answers to questions?
That would work for me.
Are there any that we can move forward with that you didn't feel like needed to be held, or...
Just the one thing I'd like you to consider, it would be those that equip our permit office to make sure that they have the staff there so that their people aren't waiting for a long time.
That was one of the first ones, and so with my recommendation with that would be, so we don't want people waiting for a long time, are we going to expand those hours?
We already expanded the permit center hours.
Yeah, for the summer.
And then the other thing, I want to make sure that we're moving forward with the remodeling, because I thought we'd authorized that a couple times, and then I heard that David put it on hold or wanted to put it on hold after we authorized it to go ahead.
Yes, and first, there's two things there. Let's talk about the vacancy first.
Community development.
Okay, here we go. We're basically a backup receptionist. In other words, it would help the people not to be waiting so long.
Agreed.
So, and that's a low cost position.
No, the permit center positions are imperative, especially during the season.
You have the building safety, residential fee.
You've got a long list. Yeah, you've got a couple batches.
The only one for community development that's pending is the building inspector.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Sorry. The building safety residential, is that the one?
If you look at that, basically it's new provide...
It's adding back a building inspector.
Yeah, and it basically provides here alternate hours of service here, so right. that they go from Tuesday to Thursday noon to 8:30, and Saturday from 8 to 4:30. So it will help those individuals that are trying to.
Right, and they're trying to help some of the smaller contractors as well as the larger, because they have to schedule a lot of hours a lot of time.
Okay, good. Got a green light? Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Green on that.
And I had another one here, health department retired, working on a grant. Retired position as a HEE 1001 program coordinator, mm-hmm. and they were working off a federally grant funded position. Mm-hmm. I think that should be released. So that okay. that could be
good.
Go.
Yep.
Wait.
Health department.
This one. Oh, it's grant funded.
Yeah. It's a grant funded one that they're working on a project. And then the other one I had looked at was. I guess that's a public health informationalist. So my question was, can we use an IT staff for this?
Actually,
I just hold it a little bit longer.
What number is that? You got it upper in that right there, that number right there you're pointing to.
Hugh 0075.
Okay, program manager.
Yeah. I talked with Mark McCauley, since that's his department now, and he would like to have some.
Sure.
I know. It's IT for public health. And what he'd like to be able to do is to make sure that he touches bases with their IT team to make sure that that makes that maybe they could do that.
Bring it back?
Yeah, bring it back.
I knew I'd need that a lot bigger. I have no one for release. Highway maintenance worker.
We're in maintenance.
That's the highway maintenance worker. That's green my light. Position.
Okay. Michael.
That's all I have.
Perfect.
Okay, good.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned the remodel of the permit center.
Yeah,
we did authorize it.
Yes.
There was no action taken by this board to put a hold on the remodel of it. And again, just so we're all on the same page, no one of us has authority to put a hold on anything.
That was
the board has to take action.
That was part of the lean study and the reorganization
mm-hmm.
of how the movement of the bodies
And basically we're that... Certainly, we want to make sure that the permit center is set up so they can incorporate the lean, so that their team is all integrated there, so that the flow all works. We certainly want to do that. When this was first proposed, and the way it was walking out, is that they can get this done in a weekend, a long weekend, and it was to be a simple process. And what it kind of escalated and turned into a $400,000 project, and they had to move the whole team out into the elections big room in there for a long time, do a whole bunch of work, and move them back in. And so it's really the how and the scope that I'm thinking, wait a minute, guys.
What happened to the growth of it?
So you approved the dollar amount.
The dollar amount. The timing.
Well, $275,000 to $400,000 was approved by you.
The timing of it was...
I went back to the tape.
And the timing of it, Marty did underestimate.
He said it was wrong. Yeah.
He did. He thought...
Yeah, I questioned that when you told me that.
I know.
So if I can finish here. The idea of taking out the two non-bearing internal walls that are below the ceiling level is really that's the bulk of what needs to be happened down there. So you open it up, tear out the counter. So basically it's tear out and it doesn't touch the ceiling. Sprinklers, HVAC, lighting, all that stuff continues to work. What the plans have escalated into is you tear into all that stuff and you put features up in there that are just locked into the concept of how we think the furniture is going to be inside the room, and that's why it ends up being such a big deal and so expensive. The one of the smartest things we can do in a building like this, where you've got a space that may shrink or grow with time, is to retain the flexibility, a flex space. In other words, do what you want with the furniture, do what you want, even to put up walls up to but don't touch the ceiling. That gives you the flexibility to be able to do what you want. As soon as you start tearing into that, mm-hmm. now you've lost your flex space. And that's what I like people to do. So Marty's not going to do anything with this project until after the peak of the season, later anyway. So what I like people to do...
I didn't know that.
He was actually wanting to get started on
is
it.
To walk through that process with Marty, and because, you know me, I'm cheering for that department. Whatever mm-hmm. we can do to set
get
them
out of
up
their
for
way.
Success.
And get out of their way.
And make sure that we do it in a way that not only accomplishes what they want now, but if they choose to grow and they end up having to expand 50% here or 30% there, we don't have to tear into the ceiling again.
Totally agree with you as far as the flexibility of the space. Absolutely. But we can't micromanage every detail of every project, and certainly can't micromanage once we have given authority to move forward. If we say to them, hey, we really want you to maintain the flexibility of the space, then we need to give them the ability to the freedom to accomplish that and get out of their way. Don't micromanage. So what I would like is for us to follow through with what we said we were going to do already and ask Marty to make sure he maintains the maximum flexibility of the space. But this is what the building community has been asking for, man. They need this.
So I like that given direction and suggestion, but let him go.
Well, here's what I'm asking for. First of all, I don't want to hold things up.
That's what we're doing right now.
I think they want to go right away.
They do.
We've been waiting for 30 days.
Yes. Hold on. No. Sorry, Anna. This is the board having the conversation. You got to hold on, Anna. Please hold on.
I would like to be able to hear from Anna.
At some point, the board has to have the conversation. But Anna, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that we want to schedule a meeting with Marty to discuss the permanent center.
Mm-hmm.
And the response we got back was that he got to hold off because he's not planning on starting until around October.
So what I was told by Marty when I met with him directly was that they have wanted to get started, but they've been putting it on hold for the past 30 days because Commissioner Madore told them to put it on hold. That's what I was actually told directly from Marty. So
I'm the only one that didn't talk to him, so can I go talk to him?
Sure.
So
put off a week.
All right, put it off a week, Ben. But we gotta
go and decide. And
seriously,
I like the idea of giving some direction.
That's fine.
A suggestion.
Sure.
And then let him go.
Got to.
And if for some reason he's so busy he can't do it till fall.
No, that he has to get all the preliminary work done so he can do it in the fall.
Right. The but he's got to get started on it.
The specs have to be made up and the bids have to be put out on the street.
And he hasn't done anything because for 30 days he's been putting it on hold. So next week we'll
keep in mind that the funds he's drawing from could be funding extra staff. If you spend $400,000 doing something that you could actually have more flexibility, and for $100,000 and add more staff, then you're doing things smarter.
Understood.
I want to make sure that
we give them a range
between micromanage and
we're
a blanket just
minute.
Go do something. Where you can actually brainstorm and help them to be successful.
That's why we gave him a range of costs that he was authorized for, as opposed to a single dollar amount for that.
Now
and
that
we authorized
all the time.
It. I know. That's all right.
okay. I'll hold my last one.
Perfect. We got okay. 4 minutes.
So
anything else?
Just at the conclusion there, basically, we'll be working with Marty to be able to.
No. What we said was we'll come back next week and talk about it. That's what we said.
We'll come back next week and talk about it. Anytime, I'll get educated and make sure that we
have
more insight.
Me too. I've seen the only one not talking to me. So.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
We need to have an understanding. We've got conflict of interest.
I agree.
Or information.
Okay. All right, cool. Anything else, Commissioner? Okay, one thing, and this is for next week, but it's a heads up that we need to have a conversation about Humane Society.
Oh, I do have one thing.
That was on my list, too.
So, Humane Society, we need to come back. Bill has done the analysis of how much it would cost for us to do our own facilities. We got a letter from Humane Society wanting to move forward with a 2-year contract. We got a letter from Humane Society. We should take a look at that. Bill will make sure we all have the information on what it would cost us to go on and do it our own. Yeah, they want
to send you a new letter.
Yeah, there's a new letter. So we'll get the letter and we'll get the and get Bill's information. Come back next week.
I talked to Bill about it briefly because the information he brought seemed very, very high and expensive. I want to go see what Camus Washington's doing. And
I have that information being given.
Perfect.
So quick.
Excellent. All right. You have one other thing.
It's almost 3:00, so you can wait.
Excellent. Anything absolutely positively has to happen this minute. Good work, people. All right.
Lori,
thank you very much. Lori has a lot on her plate already, so, yeah.
She's great.
Thank you, Lori.
Thanks, Lori. Basically,
guys.
Everybody else, we love you, too, but today, thank you, Lori.
It's these other guys.
Meeting's adjourned.
3:00.
Hey,